Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to enter into the world of the paranormal. Ghosts, UFOs, demons, Bigfoot, and generally anything unexplained. We live in a diverse world where we don't fully understand everything that happens around us. These are the topics that we are discussing on Paranormal Horizons. Stay tuned with your hosts, Jason Ophir and Sherry Pang, as we look a little deeper into the world of the paranormal. Paranormal Horizons begins now. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I am one of your two hosts, Jason Ophir, always here with the beautiful Sherry Pang. How was your week? We always kind of recap the week. How did your week go?
Very good, Jason. Just been busy working behind the scenes. I've been doing readings, and it's just wonderful. Life has been really, really well. I feel very blessed that we're healthy and we're wealthy and wise. That's a good way to say that. So.
Healthy,
no, I have no complaints, not at all. So I'm really happy to be on the show and be able to share with our listeners new information so that we can grow.
Well, we're like polar opposites. I'm full of complaints. I'm Mr. Pessimistic, poor me kind of person. So, now my week wasn't too bad. Just keeping busy, you know, working the night shift in the laboratory. It's been really, really hectic, busy, and stressful. But I managed to survive the week and look forward to this coming Monday. And, yeah, not much going on. Haven't really been cruising around the internet looking at too much paranormal stuff. As usual, there's always stuff going on in the world in the paranormal. But I have not really... Taken a look at it. Have you seen anything interesting go on?
Oh, I've just had a couple postings I put on Facebook about that gentleman. I saw that the photograph was taken, and I'm just going on memory. 1937 was this a gentleman who had a rifle. I don't know what kind of guns or whatever, but it's a rifle. And what happened was he shot this humongous cricket. Now my mind is going blank.
Oh,
but what is it? A cricket,
and
was something else. But it's humongous. It was grasshopper. That's what it was. Thank you. Thank you for correcting me. But anyway, it was weird. It was like this thing was like a huge, oversized. I don't even know how big, but you can see it on our Facebook page. And it was just, he had to grab it behind upside down. He grabbed it by the legs and by the ankles. It was strange. Very, very strange.
I saw the picture. I'd seen it before. I don't know if it's fake or not, but yeah, it was the size of a medium-sized dog. So if it's legit, that's terrifying. And, can you imagine a big insect,
Jason,
like that? No, thank you.
I mean, I can see a lot of, like you said, there's a lot of fakery around, but I really feel this one is authentic because, I don't think that they could what do you think they superimposed from a fish or something, from like a rabbit or something, and then go and do, computer generated thing where they put some kind of oversized cricket or grasshopper? I don't know. I wouldn't put it past, but it just seems to me, I feel it's authentic. It's just one of those freaky accidents where you'll see like animals with two heads or humans with two heads. You know, it's just one of those just odd creatures.
I'm not a photography expert, but I imagine you could digitize a old photograph and then Photoshop something. And I'm going to say fake. I can see an oddly sized insect, but not something quite that big. But who knows? Maybe it's a freak of nature. Maybe that guy lives near like a nuclear power plant and it's some sort of mutated giant grasshopper. Talk about the ultimate
pet. I don't know, but it was kind of trippy. And when I do share, it's to the viewer's discretion. When I say, real or fake, you decide. I just thought it's something interesting and keep the feed going, keep the post going and something to read. So you can take it or leave it. I have no opinion, but it's just interesting.
Well, it's very interesting. So who do we got coming on tonight? As usual, you're the fantastic scheduler, and I know we're going to talk about palmistry and stuff like that.
Well, tonight we're going to talk about, and it's been at least a couple of years, a year and a half, a little bit over a year and a half now. We're going to have Clay Faulkner. He's a master palmist, and I just really, I've had my palm read by him. The guy is just, he's very talented. He's the real McCoy. I like his spirit, very down to earth, to the point. He won't sugarcoat anything. And he's just a really nice, beautiful soul. So I'm going to have him come on tonight and just talk about the way he is like a classroom. He's going to just talk about his experiences, his history, and just let him take it from there. And if we have any questions, we can interject into the conversation. So go ahead and bring him on.
So I imagine we're all going to be staring at our palms. So if anybody's driving, don't endanger yourself or others trying to look at your palms in the car. You can always listen to the archived episode. Just a little disclaimer. So I'll go ahead and we'll bring him on right now.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hey,
how you doing,
how
Jason?
Are you?
Hi, Terry. I'm real good.
Hey,
I was listening
good to have you
I was
on the
listening
show.
To...
Welcome to Paranormal Horizons.
Thanks. I was listening to your opening music. And I was picturing Charlton Heston and Ben Hur. It sounded kind of majestic and I don't know, a little mysterious and scary at the same time. So great opening music.
thank you.
And as far as that bug goes, I was thinking maybe something like Australia because I know the bugs get pretty big there. I don't know.
It's
that
pretty
might be
big.
Where you
like
have some more research.
Size of a dog. I might actually after the show get on and see if I can find out about this picture to see if it's fake or not.
Wow.
Clay, do you think that photograph is, in your opinion, do you feel it's real or fake?
I don't think that I saw the photograph you're talking about.
Oh.
Did you have that on Facebook?
Yeah, you'll go on the paranormal page. You'll see it as you scroll on the photo.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I'll have to check that out. I know that there can be so much photoshopping that goes on that it can make it pretty difficult to tell the fake from the truth. But I'll check it out and see what I think, and I'll get back to you. It feels like I just talked to you, Sherry, like just yesterday. It was so weird. I'm joking with Terry. We actually were at the same venue yesterday.
Oh.
And, there's actually a new venue that opened up in Sandy, Oregon, that I actually was at, and Terry was at as well. And so we actually had a really good time talking there and sharing experiences. And that was just a really good time and gave us a chance to connect with some people and enlighten them a little bit about their lives and things in their future. And I just really like Sherry. She's so full of energy and so alive.
That's too
she
much, isn't it?
She definitely peps me up.
Oh, yes. And it's hard to believe that you can bottle that much energy in such a tiny person.
I've always been that way. Believe it or not, my grandmother, when I was little, you know, my mother was a semi-pro bowler, as I said, on my live feed, and my mom, we would travel on the weekends. We would go on tour. So during the week, mm-hmm. my mom would be self-employed, and she'd do her business. But on the weekend, mm-hmm. we travel 3 days, you know, 2 or 3 days, and tour on the bowling alleys. And it was funny because I would go, and I would go from one end of the bowling alley to the other, run from back mm-hmm. and forth and play Chinese jump rope. And my grandmother had a hard time harnessing me because she says, all you do is run around like a wild Indian. You couldn't contain
me. Oh, that's
me.
Funny. Yeah.
Anyway.
What's your secret, Sherry?
What's
or do
my
you have
secret?
One?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
To me, it's I was always like that. Ever since I was a little child that I can remember, I was very challenging. I'm an only child, so I was very challenging for my mom and my dad and my grandma. So, and to this day, I still act like a kid. I may be old, but I feel like sometimes I act like a little kid.
Yes, I can vouch for that.
Hey, we're going to talk about palm reading. So I'll have
that,
you do a little bit of an opening, and we can, if we have any questions or any readers or anybody wants to call in, if you're open to that, we can have anybody that calls in, right?
Sounds good. I'm all for
okay.
it.
Okay.
Well,
Jason,
I first
give
me
the number just in case anybody wants to call in.
Oh, yeah, if anybody wants to call in, you can call in 215-383-3999. That's 215-383-3999 if you have any questions. I was wondering, I kind of want to start off, what is the history of palmistry? How far back does that go?
That's a really good question. Most historians believe that palmistry began about 5,000 years ago in China, about the same time that Mesopotamia was recognizing and developing astrology. So I was thinking about this too. It kind of lends a little more strength to the argument that, you know, we may have been visited by aliens 5,000 years ago, because it's interesting that these two very different but sophisticated lines of logic or science happened at about the same time in two different parts of the world. So I just thought that was kind of, that's more of a side note.
Oh, I'm a big fan of aliens. I don't put anything past them. I believe in them. So it's been around a long time and practiced. And has there been any sort of established proof, I guess is the right word, that shows that it's an accurate art, like stuff
mm-hmm.
coming true? And has there been anything that proves that it's or suggests that it's actually legitimate?
Yeah, and I think that actually it's, of course, it's been developing over thousands of years, and there are some palmists that probably read inaccurately, since there is a lot of different ways in which to read palms. For instance, in India, the Hindu just read the thumbs and disregard the rest of the hand. Some palmists actually read the left hand for women and the right hand for men. And I, of course, read both hands. I look at the non-dominant hand as the subconscious self and the child self under the age of about 20. And then the dominant hand is more about them now or their persona, how they present themselves to the world. But in terms of accuracy or proof that it really works, we need to understand first that palmistry is a human science. It actually does not belong under the umbrella of the occult, even though for some reason it seems to keep finding itself there. Just being able to describe a person to themselves, and as far as their childhood and their characteristics, who they are now, is proof enough to anyone who gets their palm read that this is an actual true scientific art form, and that it actually really does work. And so I think it gets proved every time, at least every time I read a palm, because, you know, people that walk away after they get a reading done are pretty amazed that it could be so accurate.
Can I ask you, when you read a palm, when you read a person's palm, is this true or not? And I want to speak, for the listeners that don't know anything about this, but is palm mm-hmm. reading considered fortune telling, or is it misunderstood as fortune telling?
Yeah, that's interesting, because fortune telling kind of indicates that it's something that will disclose some kind of a future event. And, there can be a little bit of that happens with palmistry, but it's more about the trajectory of someone's life and being able to see the direction that they're going in. I'll give you an example. If somebody just eats fast food, drinks, smokes, and doesn't exercise, then someone could surmise that this person probably will not live long, or they'll end up dying of heart disease or something like that. And in palmistry, the body has a way of, or the mind has a way of, I guess, kind of like predicting the future of a person based on the direction that their life is going in. I do explain to people that time is not linear, that it is fluid, and that a person can change the way the direction of their life is going. So, when I do tell somebody something that is futuristic and that may happen to them, I do let them know that this is more like a signpost is telling them to, slow down. There's a curve coming up, slow down to 25 miles an hour. It's more of a kind of a warning rather than written in stone that this is going to happen.
So you do have free will.
You have free will, and I think with anything, whether it's tarot or runes or any kind of divination, I think that it is a forecast of what's to come, but it is not written in stone, and there are factors that enter into our lives that change the direction that our lives go into. So then I try and impress that upon on people that have readings done. I do other forms of divination too, so that's something that's universal that I just tell people. And I kind of hesitate to give them any kind of future information because of the fear that it may become a self-fulfilling prophecy. So I have to be kind of careful with that. But I mostly focus on a person's character, their personality, things that they like, and also delve into their childhood and things that form them and make them who they are today.
Can it show, Clay, can it show any problems, health problems when you read a palm? Current health problems?
Yeah, actually, yes. If you look at your hand, for most people, you'll see a line that runs underneath the fingers. Then below that, you'll see another line that runs parallel to the first line. The first line that you see that's just under your fingers is your heart line.
Is that the
and
right hand or the left hand?
That's with both hands. Either hand.
Oh, both hands.
The
okay.
Right, whether it's the right or the left, it's always going to be the top line that's under the fingers.
Yes.
Usually runs from the little finger to about the index finger. That is your heart line. And if you look at that, if it's clear and strong and easily seen, then this indicates someone who has more of a healthy kind of emotional state. And so since that is the heart line, it's not specifically about their physical heart, but it's more about their emotion. But
okay.
it can also show areas of frustration and anxiety and depression based on the clarity of the line and if there's any like breaking of the line and so forth. So you can tell if someone is more prone to have like a depression or some kind of an anxiety, which will also bring on more of a physical illness sometimes.
Wow. What do you think of that, Jason?
Well, I'm looking at my hand, staring at my hand right now. It seems pretty clear.
Uh-huh.
It goes from
uh-huh.
the pinky to the middle finger to the end of the middle finger, and it kind of it
uh-huh.
V's at the very end at the middle
uh-huh.
finger. I don't know.
Yeah,
weird.
So it branches at the end, correct?
Yeah.
You got two ends. Yeah. Yeah, that actually means that you have the ability to connect with people on more than one level emotionally. Since that is the heart line and it does split, then it shows that you can connect at least in two different ways emotionally with people.
It branches off at the pinky end too, like several times
mm-hmm.
Where
mm-hmm.
it starts. It's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. And that could just be an indication of just part of like your child rearing from your parents. You know, there may have been a lot of influence when you were a small child or even a baby. So, you know, things that you probably don't remember that was kind of infused in you and was strong enough to leave its mark in your hand. Just remember that your hand is a reflection of your mind. And so that will actually, your mind will actually imprint itself on your hand in various ways.
And I would kind of agree with that. I mean, people like to talk to me and confide in me, and I mean, people do all the time. And I'm, for some
mm-hmm,
reason, I'm
mm-hmm.
scary looking physically, but people like to talk to me and tell me
mm-hmm.
things that they probably normally wouldn't tell other people. So maybe that sounds like that might be part of it.
Yeah, and incidentally, there has been some argument about the lines on the hand. That these lines are strictly there because we bend our hand or, you know, our fingers in our hands, and we just develop these creases over time, and that's really where these lines come from. But it's interesting to note that babies that are unborn after the first trimester have already developed lines in their hands. So these lines are actually developed just from the mind of the child. And I know that the child is still in the development stage, but it's already deciding in certain ways what kind of a character or personality it will have, just as its limbs are developing and its facial features are developing. Also, the hands and the mind are developing at the same time.
Well, that's an interesting thing to note, because that's what I was wondering about. Is I would think that the
mm-hmm.
lines would be formed by hand movements, but aren't babies moving their hands in the womb? Could that be it?
Oh, you know, I don't know that they really have the ability to bend their hands that much at just 3 months of age or 3 months in the uterus. I don't believe that there's that much movement in order to create these creases. And the any kind of research that I've done has always indicated that these creases are actually developed not by the bending of the hand, but actually more of an imprint from the mind onto the hand.
Mm.
That's amazing.
So which is the lifeline? That's the one that I'm really most concerned about.
You know, that's funny, because most people are concerned about that one too. And that's probably one of the most asked questions that I get is, am I going to die soon? I noticed my lifeline is short. A person's lifeline is the line that wraps around the ball of the thumb. Yeah, it usually starts about halfway between the index finger and the thumb and runs down toward the middle of the wrist, usually. And if it runs fully from just under the index finger down to the wrist, then that is an indication that you have a good deal of vitality and that you have a good support system, like your family and friends are there to help support you. So people with like shorter lifelines, or their lifelines are weak or chained, or they have a lot of breaks, things like this, would indicate a lack of vitality and not having that strong support system from friends and family. So I do have people that come to me, and some people are actually shaking because they're so nervous about this particular question. And they've actually have had palmists in their past that have told them that they're going to die in, 5 years or 10 years, something like that. And so I basically kind of have to talk them off the edge and tell them that, as I said before, that time is fluid, it's not linear. And that also, just because their line is short does not indicate any length of their lifespan, but rather it's about their vitality.
So again, they have free will. If they have low energy and, maybe the line is faded or broken or whatever, the characteristics are, they can always do something about it so it can change the lifeline, correct?
Well, and I look at that as, like I said before, with the signpost, slow down to 25. When you see these different markings on the hand, it does give you that heads up that, okay, so I do have low vitality. Now I know that I've got a problem. Now I know I need to do something about it. And maybe, through a change of diet would help your vitality. Maybe more exercise would help your vitality. Just being aware that your vitality is not as strong as it could be, just to take some precautions along the way. And also maybe that they need to develop closer ties with their family or with their friends to help develop that lifeline. And incidentally, our lines do change. They change all the time because it is a reflection of our mind.
So I'm looking at mine, and my lifeline is very, very deep, very defined. And towards the top of it, it intertwines with that other line, not the heart line, but the one. Yeah, so it intertwines towards the index finger, and at the very bottom towards the wrist, there's a significant break, but it continues around the ball of the thumb.
Okay. So the line that you're speaking of is actually the head line. It runs parallel to the heart line. And when you have this connection between the head line and the lifeline, this tells me that you've had a more of a domineering or strict kind of a childhood, that your parents definitely had rules that you had to abide by. It also tells me that the life that you're living now is you like hearken back to the values that you were taught as a child, and you govern your life based on those values, that you've not developed your own unique values, but you use the values that you were taught and learned as a child.
I would say that sounds pretty accurate. I mean, both my parents have PhDs, so, it wasn't like a super strict or anything, but it was definitely structured.
Yeah, and I've done readings for people where they say, well, it wasn't like I was living in some kind of a Hitler regime. And I thought, well, that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm really referring to is that there was this structure of rules that you were required to abide by. Some people that I read, there is no connection between the lifeline and the headline. And these kids, they don't have the same set of rules that they were required to live by, and they just were able to develop their own set of values. There's good things and bad things to say about either case. With the person that does not have the connection between the headline and the lifeline, it does give them that opportunity to develop their own values and look further into their future and decide, based on their own values, how they want to conduct their life.
What about the break towards the bottom, towards the thumb, and the continuation? What does that mean?
You're just not going to let me off the hook on that one, are you?
No.
Well,
I'm good.
Yeah, because typically that's not a good sign. So let me just clarify, because I want to make sure we're talking about the same thing. So toward the end of the lifeline, as it reaches toward your wrist, am I right?
Yes.
Is that what we're talking about? Okay, is there an actual distinct break?
Actually, now that I look at it closer, it breaks, but it's also, it's like the line has a V to it, but it actually still connected technically to the life line.
Okay.
It's kind of
so there's a line that comes down, and then there's another line that kind of runs parallel to it, but it overlaps it, and there is like this little line that goes in between. Like you said, a Z or like a Y. Yeah.
It's a Y where one of the branches of the Y is still connected to the lifeline.
Right, I understand. And now, how far from your wrist would you say that is? An inch, an inch? How far would you say that is?
An inch.
An inch, okay. There's a way that you can measure future events in your life, and that is to consider that your line is, it represents 80 years, which is like a typical lifespan. So your lifeline begins just under your index finger, and it ends toward your wrist. So if your break, or that little Z or Y, is happening about an inch before your wrist, you do your timeline and you look at that. If halfway down your lifeline, you could deduce that that is 40 years, right?
Right.
Okay, so if you keep going down, and since I can't see your hand, I'm going to have to rely on you. It is like halfway between the 40-year mark and the end of your line at the wrist. Then, you know, you do your math and look at the line and decide about how many years that would be. Can you kind of guesstimate that?
Yeah, I would say probably 70.
Okay, so it is really close to the end.
65, 70.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very close to the end.
Okay, and then this, I just want to remind you, this is more of a trajectory. This is something that if you live your life as you continue to live it now without any significant changes to it, then there is going to be something significant that happens to you at around 65 or 70 years of age. It's significant enough to actually show up in the lifeline at that place.
Wow.
It could be something as significant as a divorce, a loss of a job. Typically, if it's the lifeline, it's more affecting your life and your health. So it could even be like a serious illness, a heart attack, something along those lines. You can't really get real specific. Sometimes if you do look at your heart line or your head line and do the same math with the time, the timeline going from 0 to 80,
mm-hmm.
then there will be some correspondence that there will be the same kind of a break or significant line crossing through it. That will also give you a little bit more of a hint as to what kind of a serious problem you're looking at. The timeline for your lines run a little bit differently. For the heart line, it runs from the little finger to the index finger, from 0 to 80. And then with the head line, it actually begins at the index finger and runs toward the heel of your hand, or the percussion side of your hand, and that goes from 0 to 80. So if you saw anything significant in those lines that would indicate around 65 or 70 years of age, like a rather large line or like what we call as an island in that line or some kind of a break, then that would indicate that there could be some kind of a mental problem, like a mental breakdown, or that if it was on the heart line, it could be something also dealing with your heart in terms of like a heart attack or something like that.
So, Clay, I have a question. When you read a palm, do you look at the hand shape also and how the fingers are?
The hand shape is not something I really look at because it's not specific enough. Some palmists look at the shape of the hand and they decide if it's a water hand or a fire hand or earth hand, and that would give them a general description of that person. But it's not as accurate or specific enough, so it's not something that I really look at. However, the fingers and their relation to each other can give us a lot of information about a person. If you look at your hand with your palm toward you, and you look at your ring finger in relation to your index finger, and tell me which one is longer. Is it your index finger or is it your ring finger?
Your left palm. What you're looking at, your left palm or your right
well,
palm.
We'll stick with your dominant hand. So if you're right-handed, look at your right hand because this is the you now.
My index finger is longer than the ring finger.
Okay. What this tells me is that as a child, you had to actually step up and become more of an adult than you should have. Probably because either your mother was more domineering and telling you exactly what she wants you to do and not allowing you to, be a child, expecting you to be more of an adult. Or it could be
okay,
that she
sorry,
just
I'm
was
wrong.
Not.
Okay, as I look my hands yeah. and I'm looking at it flat, it's interesting
mm-hmm.
because if you look at it, they're almost the same height, but when I turn it around, it looks like, no, they're pretty much, wow, just the
uh-huh.
the index finger is slightly, almost like they're almost even, but the index finger may be slightly, just ever minute, a little bit
yeah.
longer.
And,
okay,
and that's
so
all you need.
You?
And even if it's just a tiny bit longer, that does indicate that for whatever reason, you've had to become more of an adult at a young age, than you should have to be. And it also could be an indication that your mother was just not a strong enough person and you were, out of necessity, you're required to step up and, fill in the gaps and be more responsible and be more of an adult.
So what happens if the ring finger is a slightly
mm-hmm.
taller, slightly
right.
longer than the index finger?
Uh-huh.
My ring finger is like three quarters of an inch longer than
your index finger.
Actually, now I'm trying to remember. Wait, ring finger is the one next to the pinky, right?
Yes.
Okay. And I haven't worn a wedding ring in a while. Actually, you know what? Strike that. My middle finger is three quarters of an inch longer. My index finger and ring finger are even.
Okay, they're even. Okay. If they're dead even, then that's not really significant. That would indicate more of a kind of a normal childhood. And so you actually were allowed to have more of a healthy childhood for the age that you were, during the different ages. And then, Sherry, you were saying that your index finger was longer than your ring finger.
Well,
I
don't know about
point.
That, because when I lay my fingers flat on the table here, ring finger is longer than my index finger when I lay it flat on the table.
Are you looking with the palm up?
No.
You can't look at the back of your hand. You have to look at the palm of your hand.
Okay.
Because there actually will be a difference.
So what I'm seeing is the index finger is longer than the ring finger on my right hand, my dominant hand.
Okay, your dominant hand. So that is the you now hand. And like I was saying, that you had to step up and be more of an adult at a young age. And it makes you more of an organized person. And it's an indication that you do a lot of like soul searching and critiquing of how you conduct yourself through the day. And you might actually do reruns of different scenarios of how you've interacted with people, things that you've done or said. And so you do have a tendency to critique yourself and scrutinize what you've done because of that. And so you're constantly looking to find ways to be a better person.
That's true. That's true. I'm always critiquing myself after the fact. Yes, that's very true.
Yeah. And it causes us to be more inward looking at ourselves, too.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Very interesting. So when I'm looking at my hand, so you talked about the heart line, the one that's closest to the fingers, and the lifeline, the one that goes around the thumb. What I have a line that goes directly up the middle of my hand and connects with the line in the middle. I can't remember which one that is.
Yeah, so you've actually, you're probably referring to your line of destination, or some people call it a Saturn line. And it runs, usually runs from about the heel of your hand or the base of your hand toward your middle finger. Is that the line you're speaking of?
Yeah, and okay. It almost touches that other line.
The heart line?
It looks like an M, kind of, the main lines, and then they have that one that runs up the center that nearly touches the middle of the M shape.
Okay. Is that M shape near your heart line? Is that near your heart line?
The M shape is all the main lines, the heart line, the lifeline. It's hard to describe. But there is that line that runs up the center,
I
the hand.
About this I was thinking about this earlier. I'm like, I don't know. I mean, palmistry, that's more of a visual kind of thing. So it's kind of tough. Trying to describe things over the radio or the phone to really make yourself understood and make it clear. There typically is just the four lines, and that would be the heart line, then the head line just under that. Of course, we discussed the lifeline. And then the fourth major line is the destiny line or the Saturn line, and that's the one that runs right in the center of the hand, going from the heel toward the your middle finger. And that actually has a timeline on it as well. And that begins at the heel of your hand and goes up toward your middle finger. And that's a 0 to 80 years as well. Typically, if that line reaches your head line, which is the second line down from your fingers, then that, for time-wise, that's usually right around 35 or 40 years of age. Going up further toward the heart line, that's reaching closer to about 50 years of age. So you can kind of see just the direction of your life and where things will be based on those kind of markings or those two lines of the heart line and the head line. So it kind of gives you an idea of where you're at. This destiny line or Saturn line, if it ends, for instance, at the headline, then at the age of around 35 or 40, there's going to be this time where you have reached enough confidence in yourself that you can see that you have other options in your life to go in, line of employment, different way of living your life, religion, you know, significant things like that. It gives you that that strength and that confidence that if you want to change the direction your life is going in, then you're able to do that. If this line continues, and some people have the line continues clear up to the middle finger, that's clearly an indication that this person is going to live their life the same way all through their life, and there's not going to be any significant changes.
It's interesting. Mine terminates just below the headline. So at
okay. Okay. So probably at around 45 years of age, there's going to be this this time in your life when you have the ability to or the confidence to change something significant in your life. And now, bear in mind, it doesn't mean that you have to. You can continue living your life the way it is, but it gives you that or indicates that you have that confidence that you can change something significant in your life.
Well, it's interesting because I just got a divorce and I'm almost 44, so maybe that's why it ends there. That's a pretty big change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would definitely be the change that would show up on your Saturn line for sure. And you can continue living your life the way you do it now, but this is, you know, this is of course, when you get divorced, now there's not this other person that you have to consider. Now you just have to yourself to consider. You know, if you don't have children, then, of course, you just can, you know, basically change the way you do things if that's what you want to do.
Yeah, my life's completely different now. So, and that seems to fit in with the timeline that you're talking about. So.
Right, right, yeah. So, I mean, things
Clay,
like this.
Can I ask you, is
sure.
The palmistry, is it like when Chinese medicine or feng shui, is there different, what would you say, theories like as an example in feng shui, we have different types of schooling or thought patterns, and just like in Tai Chi or Qigong, there's different forms. Or in Chinese medicine, you know, there's five element, and there's classical Chinese medicine where I've been trained at. Is that what it's like in palmistry? You have different schools of thought or different ways of reading palms?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Like I spoke before, some people read the left hand for women, the right hand for men. Hindus just focus on the thumb and disregard the rest of the hand. There is probably literally thousands of books written on palmistry, and I have read my fair share of them. Some of them are just way out in left field, and I end up just tossing those. And I think it's important that when a person, whether it's palmistry or anything else, and when they delve into something like that, they need to find what resonates with them. And that's just really how I've guided my life. And I have run across and tried different types of palm reading. And if it doesn't seem to work, kind of a trial and error thing, then you disregard it and you keep searching and you just kind of find your own style for what works with you. And it just takes many years of trial and error and practice and research. And, you know, you finally find your path and the direction you need to go in. But there's definitely different lines of thought, different ways in which a person can read palms. And it's really just kind of an individual thing. You have to find what works for you. And, you know, for me, I'm quite happy and comfortable with the path that I've chosen.
So has there been times where when you read a palm, can it be really, you know, sometimes you can see it, that's pretty concrete, but are there times where you look at a palm and you say, oh, my gosh, this can be a little bit confusing. It's not very clear where this person's path is or where they're at. Just like
having a
person being bipolar, you know what I mean? They can go from one side to the other. Have you ever gotten to the point where you read a palm and it's like, wow, this is quite interesting. You never had – I mean, I'm assuming that each palm is so individualized, like a fingerprint.
Mm-hmm.
But has it ever been
absolutely.
Where you just can't figure it out what direction because it's almost messed up?
Yeah, I was going to say yesterday I was reading palms at the venue in Sandy. And bearing in mind there's the right hand or your dominant hand is about the you now. and your left hand is it more about your childhood or your subconscious self? And I was reading this person's dominant hand, and their lifeline and their headline was connected as I was talking with Jason earlier. And I says, oh, well, I see that you've had more of a strict type of upbringing. And she's like, no, it wasn't strict at all. I don't even know where you're getting that. And I thought to myself, oh, that's really kind of interesting. Let me see your left hand, your non-dominant hand. And when I looked at that hand, I saw that clearly that was there was no connection between the headline and the lifeline, which is a clear indication that this person did not have a strict upbringing, that they were allowed to develop their own values. But it wasn't until after her childhood that there was this change in her parents, and they became very strict with her. And so it threw me for a minute because I hadn't run across this before, that there was such a difference in the lifeline and headline from one hand to the other. And once I was able to see the other hand, I was able to put the pieces together and finally make sense of it. And then we could, you know, talk about exactly what it was that was happening. And then it made total sense that her childhood was actually not strict at all. But it wasn't until after the age of 20 that her parents became very strict with her.
Wow.
So you can see where there would be a difference.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And when you were talking about like my the lifeline, talking about the break and it not being a good thing, I see that as a good thing. If I can make it to 65 and not have anything major traumatic happen, that's a win for me. So, you know, I'm cool with that.
Yeah. Incidentally, if you do look closely at your hands, and I like to use a magnifying glass, but if you look closely at your hands, at the different lines on your hands, a lot of times you'll see what is commonly known as a bar, which is a small line that will cross the major line, whether it's the headline or the heart line or lifeline or line of destiny. And if you see like these little lines or bars that cross, then really this is an indication of some kind of a resistance or a frustration, some kind of a blockage that happened. And if you can do the timeline on this and just see about what time in your life this blockage or resistance actually took place, it's usually not something real significant, but it could be something like changing schools when you're a child, or maybe moving to a new place. These kinds of things show up as a line crossing your hand, or your line on your hand, your headline or lifeline, and it can actually be, you can actually see where this event took place based on the timeline that we discussed earlier.
And I'm just looking, I'm left-handed, so I'm looking, I've been referring to my left hand. I'm kind of a weird ambidextrous kind of person, but I, you know, write with my left hand. So I was just looking at my right hand, and my lifeline is totally awesome with no breaks, but the break is on the left hand and not the right.
Okay, and that's your dominant hand.
So you're always reading.
Well, I'm just saying your dominant hand is your left hand.
Well, it's the one I write with, but it's like, it's weird. Like, I'm stronger with my right hand. Like, if I was to punch someone, I'd punch them with my right and not my left. But I just write with my left. Kind of weird.
Okay. Yeah, and I do run across that sometimes. And there is this unknowing whether the person is truly right-handed or left-handed. What I usually do is try and discover which hand is stiffer or more flexible. The stiffer hand is typically more the dominant hand. Which of your hands do you feel is more stiff?
Stiff.
Like if you're bending your fingers back, if you like bend your fingers backward, like on the end of the table, how are you more flexible with your left hand or your right hand?
You're more flexible with
your right hand.
Left hand, actually. No, it's the left hand.
Left hand more flexible. Okay.
So that must be my dominant hand.
Well, usually it's the hand that's stiffer is the dominant hand. And you're saying now that maybe it's your right hand is more dominant, more stiff?
Yeah, my right hand feels more, it definitely feels stiffer than my left.
Okay. And that probably is just more of a subconscious break that's coming up for you. It's not something that's showing up in your dominant hand, but it's showing up in your subconscious hand. And so that's revealing something about your future that maybe your subconscious self is aware of, but the you now hand or your more dominant hand is not revealing that information. So that's why for me it's important to read both hands, because there is information on one hand that may not be on the other. So it's a good idea as a palmist to actually read both hands and then kind of compare and just see what kind of similarities or differences there are from one hand to the other.
Well, I noticed I just looked at the clock and we only have a few minutes left. And so I wanted to give you an opportunity if people want to get in contact or learn more about what you do. Are you going to other events where people can see you and get a reading?
Right. Actually, I go to the Holistic Health Services in Sandy, Oregon. The owner there is Shana Schaefer, and her address there is 39330 Proctor Boulevard, and it's right across the street from the Trout Pub, and she's on the second floor. She has a metaphysical event there the second Saturday of every month from 11 to 7. And we'd like to invite anyone who wants to come down and have the tarot done, runes, geomancy, palmistry, any kind of chakra balancing, psychic work. It's just a wide variety of different services that are provided at that location. And if anyone wants to reach me on a more personal level, they can reach me at cf.tellings@gmail.com.
Well, I want to say I've had my palms read by Clay, and I like the way he does it, because like I said, he's just, you know, it's no sugarcoating or anything, but he makes the reading so easy to understand, and he's just very simple and gives you something to think about. And I personally would highly recommend Clay for palm reading. I just very, very pleased with his work.
Well, thank you, Ferry.
I'm going to have to get out there and get my palms read, so I will do that hopefully sometime in the near future. But we are out of time, so hey, thanks for coming on the show and talking with us. Hopefully there were people out there that could visualize and look at their hands and kind of get a basic understanding of what the lines mean. I know I have a better understanding now, so I want to appreciate you taking the time to come on the show, and thank you,
Jason. Well, thank you for having me on.
Yes, you're very welcome. I'm glad you're able to spend the time and be able to help our listeners to be more educated about palm reading. It's so different in how your approach to it than what most people think. It's like woo-woo, you know, fortune-telling kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And different than what real palm reading is.
Well, I appreciate you having me on as well, Sherry. And I look forward to seeing you again.
Yes, we will see you soon. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Good night. Thanks again.
And you too. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Sherry.
We got to go and share the good news about being on radio now. So would you like to tell people we are now on syndicated radio?
That's right. Our shows will be broadcast, not live. We were trying to do it live, but it just wasn't working out. We'll be Thursday at what time, Sherry? Was it
7:30 to 8:30? It will be rebroadcasted. So having a little glitch, but we have it rebroadcasted every Thursday evening from 7:30 to 8:30. And it's go ahead and listen on KNCP radio or KITC. So I don't remember what the 106.3 or 106. I will get that next week. Sorry, I wasn't prepared for that, but I will make sure that we will make that announcement next week. So next week we're going to have Mike Noly. He's going to talk about consciousness, raising our consciousness and awareness of ourselves. So we're going to have Mike Noly, and looking forward to that. And in 2 weeks, we're going to have Brian Ouellette. We're going to have him back. He was just on Ghost Adventures. He did a live exorcism with Zach and the crew, and he was literally was doing a live exorcism. It was very, very good, very good results. So we're going to have him back in 2 weeks.
Awesome. Yeah, I believe it's 106.5 KITC FM and 107.1 KNCP, and those are both stations out in Central Oregon. So we're still working on, got to modify a couple things and stuff like that. We're still working on it, but it'll get all sorted out and we'll get it refined, and we're excited to get back on those stations out there. Paranormal Horizons was on for a little while, a couple years ago, out on the stations. So thanks to Sherry, we got those relationships renewed, and we're getting that done and getting our voices out there. So if you're listening on those stations, we appreciate your listenership and support. And also, if you're just listening on Blog Talk Radio, we also appreciate that support as well. And with that, we got to close it because we're a minute over.
Yay. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Happy Mother's Day to each and every mother out there, whether they're, you know, adopted mothers, fur baby mothers, but happy Mother's Day and peace. And listen to me live on Wednesday from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock on Psychic Medium Sherry. I'm going to talk about a subject sorry, it's half an hour. I'm sorry. 8 o'clock to 8:30 and listen to me live. If you have any questions, you can comment on the live streaming.
Alrighty, good night, everyone. We hope you have a great week, and we'll see you next week. And with that, we're done. All right, so good night, everyone.
Bye-bye. Take care. Peace.